First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, aka Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Still talking the Alec Murtaugh trial here. Defense attorney Kaylee Turin still with us. And I want to dive into parts of the case that I guess the psychology of Alec Murtaugh, and talking to the police immediately after everything happened. He's one who we've already seen in other examples tell everybody, don't talk to the cops, don't talk to the cops. And yet he's doing it right away in this case of his wife and son being murdered. And there he is standing right there looking kind of disheveled on the grounds of where the murder took place. Does that speak to his innocence or guilt of feeling that he could talk to the cops? Because you could go either way with it. You could go, right, he's got nothing to hide. Why not talk to the cops?
I think it's just a personality thing, because you can't, there's not a right or wrong thing. I've had clients talk to the cops and they've been innocent. I've had them talk to the cops and they've been guilty. I think it's just more of a personality thing, or, you know, they don't have experience with police officers, or they're scared. They've been brought up to, you know, respect them and always talk to them. But in this case, he knows better. I think it was more of a, I think I'm smarter than them kind of thing.
Yeah. And there was a lot with the cops being very, or trying to be buddy-buddy. There were many moments of, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, Christopher Bumblefuck down the way. Yeah, he used to rent out the cabin from me. He's a great officer. He's a great man. And it's when you're talking about the death of your wife and son, the, you know, pleasantries of, you know, who used to, you know, rent from you, it just don't seem to really make a whole lot of sense.
Right. And just from the jurors' perspective, too, they're probably thinking that, too. Like, why are you not so upset and distraught? Your wife and son, you know, not just your wife, your son died and everything. Why are you acting like this? And, you know, I don't think we will truly understand his thought process, because, again, I highly doubt his defense team is going to allow him to testify. Granted, it is his right, but we can kind of be like, man, you really, really should not, because he has that whole, I think it's 99 charges against him he's still facing.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to talk about, you know, the financial stuff in this trial, which I thought was very interesting. And so if he gets on the stand, he could be, even if he beats these charges, he could still be screwing himself up in that case as well. So that's why I feel like we're not going to see him at all. And, you know, those are just questions, open-ended questions that the jurors are going to have to deal with his statements without knowing his frame of mind.
And it does feel like we're hearing a lot about the financial charges against him presented as fact. How is that, you know, if indeed he is found innocent or guilty in this case, he's still going to face those charges as long as he's alive.
Are the
pieces of this puzzle, of this, the murder puzzle, are some of those pieces going to end up moving into the Alec Murtaugh, the sequel trial about the finances and such of what's been presented here?
I think most definitely. I mean, the prosecutors are linking both cases together, which I feel it's very odd, you know, and I'm not sure what kind of motions or anything the defense filed with regards to that, or that they agreed to it and everything. But you normally want to keep. So I've got clients that have like multiple trials set on different crimes. You want to keep everything separate. Mm-hmm. So the jurors are not going to be like, oh my gosh, he's been charged in two other cases. Clearly he's guilty. You want them to focus on, this is the only case that this person has. And so I think that's very odd that they're doing it this way. But even if he is found innocent, they're definitely going to bring up aspects of this, because they're saying that the financial crimes are the motive for this one. And they're just going to say, well, you know, clearly he may have committed these or may not have committed these, but look at the reasoning in his mindset at the time. he was screwed, essentially. Mm-hmm. There were, I think, the Bowdoin case and also the law firm were coming after him in that same month. And it goes to kind of his mindset, because they can bring up the interrogation video in that and be like, man, your wife and son died and you just cared about being buddy-buddy with these cops. You are not in the right state of mind.
Well, that, and then also Cousin Eddie and the attempted murder. Mm-hmm. When you look at that, or not attempted murder, attempted suicide or whatever, you know, staged it was, and then even yeah. getting airlifted when it was, he was grazed by a bullet. I think he had far more to do with that helicopter landing and taking off with him in it than the actual paramedics did. I think right. that was one hell of a grandstanding that was trying to paint this picture of, oh my gosh, look what happened. What do you make of that? When you look at this and you try and figure out, you know, how did this guy miss? Was he ever supposed to be shooting him to begin with? Or what was that all about?
You know, when I hear how crazy that is, I got to think that, you know, Alec must have been, you know, using at the time, you mm-hmm. know, that's just such a crazy thought process. Like, hey, you know, I want somebody to shoot me, but I want you to kill me for the life insurance. But okay, now I just get grazed. Now I want to be airlifted to another hospital and then to another state, I believe. I think he went to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you thinking? And it's kind of like, well, was he in the right state of mind? Was he still using at that time? And if we go back to the, you know, $50,000 a week in drugs, I mean, and if he's still using that amount of drugs at that time, you never know what these people are thinking and everything. And, you know, if it is, you know, not pure drugs, you don't know what other impurities are going to be in that to affect their mind as well.
And he did test positive for barbiturates and mm-hmm. Opioids when he was airlifted back to the hospital. So he was clearly using at that mm-hmm. point in time. Obviously, I know you're not a medical professional, you're a defense attorney, but you you have you know, dealt with clients and such, I'm sure, that have been users of those sort of products, if you will. How can you speak to, in a non-medical way, the way that those sort of things can affect the mind? I know it affects everyone a bit differently, but mm-hmm. what have you seen, you know, professionally with clients that you've dealt with?
So, I mean, I think it varies first off on what drug they're using. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the meth users, we're told as attorneys, because we're also rehab coordinators and treatment coordinators as well mm-hmm. With their cases. So we have to kind of know about these effects and everything. So with meth and everything, it takes a full year for you to fully get out of the really need to use cycle. So that's why people, you know, go away for a year, you know. Just the lesser substances, we're talking about the heroin, it's 90 days. You know, opiates, it's a whole nother animal because, again, going back to, we don't know if it was the pure pills, like, you know, from the pharmacy, regular person mm-hmm. prescribed, or if it was pressed by the drug dealers and what other stuff was cut in it. And that's where I'm a little hesitant, like, you know, what other stuff was in that pill? Mm-hmm. Because no matter if he's using the same amount, you never know from time and time again whether it is going to be the same drug. And that's, I think, the biggest hurdle you're going to. But I think it also affects mentally their frame of mind for a long time. Even so, say you're arrested and you had just used, it still affects their mind 3 to 6 months later. And even if they're in custody, no access to anything. So you have to kind of start from the beginning, hey, tell me your story, and keep going back because they'll remember different things. Or their story changes, because usually in the beginning, they're wanting to get out to get back to the product as quickly as possible. So they'll be like, hey, maybe I want to work, you know, for various enforcement agencies, or they want to do this, or this is what happened in my case. And then it's like 3 to 6 months down the road, it's like, okay, this is actually what happened, because they're getting off that drug.
Have you seen cases? Because opioids were opiates were the main thing that Alex seemed to be having the problem with, as far as what we know as far as what's been presented. Is that something that makes people act in very rash ways or potentially violent ways against people that they otherwise would not?
It really does depend. I mean, you know, obviously, again, he's wealthier. When people who are using opioids can't get it, they then go to heroin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of does this, it does the same effects. So it just all depends because, you know, I've seen clients who get very upset when they can't get their, you know, money together, they can't get their stash, and then they go and commit crimes because they're so desperate and everything. Mm-hmm. Violent, I think it just more goes to personality. I don't think it can be linked directly to the drugs in my experience. I think it more goes to personality.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Kaylee Turin, defense attorney, thank you so much for that insight. Got a little bit more to talk about with her later on the feed, so press subscribe so you don't miss any of that as we continue our coverage into the trial and the case of Alec Murtaugh. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.